Coming up on this episode of Inside Pop,
it's our Oscar nomination special. We're going to discuss the surprise nods, the snubs, and we're also going to talk about why these may be the hardest Academy Awards to predict in years.
Plus, a one-on-one conversation with Academy Award nominee Mahershala Ali and John David Washington, featured in The Big Sell.
Hello, I'm Sean David Johnson.
And I'm Amita Patel, and this is Inside Pop, your deep dive inside the world of pop culture.
We are going to dive deep inside the Oscar nominations in just a moment. But first, a quick reminder, if you are a loyal fan of this show, if you enjoy listening to our pop culture celebration and criticism, please head on over to iTunes and give us a quick rating and review. It takes about 45 seconds out of your entire life. And in that 45 seconds, you can help us reach more listeners. Thank you in advance. Well, Amita,
yes.
It's like Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, Ramadan morning. It is, the Oscar nominations have just been announced.
Just minutes ago.
And so, like we do, we're going to share our immediate reactions with our listeners and with each other.
Yes, it's so fresh. I'm still processing it all. I'm really excited. You all know I love award shows. I will say this crop of nominees has me a little, not confused, but just, you know, not as excited. I don't know what it is this year. What do you think about this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have been trying to process as well. I think I've been trying to process all award season about how I'm feeling. And my big conflict is there aren't as many films that I believe actually have a chance to win that I'm feeling very, very, very emotional about as I have in the past. Obviously, there have been films that just wowed me, like Moonlight, of course, and like going even further back, like Hurt Locker. I just remember thinking that movie has to win. It's so good. This year, I'm happy that there's a really interesting, diverse selection of films. And I'm not just talking about racial diversity, but also genre diversity. So that's exciting to me. But the individual films themselves that I think have a chance to win, I'm not ecstatic about.
Yeah.
So it's weird. So I think this is maybe more of a head game than a heart game this year for me.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that there's like, I was telling, everyone was asking, you know, me, people have asked me like, what do you think this year? I was like, I've been saying it seems like a wide open race with, like you had said, many genres, a really interesting group of contenders here, but there's not a lot that's like standing out. And the one movie that I think I tell everybody to see has a really good showing this year with the nominations, and that's Roma. And to dive into kind of what has been nominated and a potential race right now for Best Picture, you know, Green Book has gotten a lot of recognition, and the Producers Guild just awarded it for Best Motion Picture. So there is some stats that say that the Producers Guild Awards predicts 21 out of the past 29 years of, you know, Best Picture nominees for the Oscar, Best Picture winners for the Oscar. So will Green Book win the Oscar? I don't know. It's been getting a lot of criticism. And I still really do prefer Roma.
Yeah, I think, so just quickly, I mean, I'm sure everyone who cares about this knows the nominees, who listens to our show, but Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, Vice. Those are the eight, not 10 this year, eight nominees for Best Picture. Yeah, I think, I like it. We're coming out of the gate strong, Amita, Best Picture.
That's right.
In everyone's face. Okay. I think that, or I'm just going to say it, even though we will probably have our Oscar prediction special later, I think Green Book's going to win. It's interesting because it has, I feel like every year there's some film that gets some kind of backlash, right? Like, is how true is it? Or is this politically correct? You know, it happened to Three Billboards.
Yeah, last year.
Mm-hmm. I remember rooting against that film because of the backlash. Because I remember feeling that. We don't have to get all into that again. But Green Book is interesting because I remember I saw it and it was like it. I remember we talked about it. Oh, what an easy to like movie, right? The good guys win. It deals with racial atrocities in a very palatable way. And the performances were great. What an easy movie to like. But I think a lot of people have criticized it. To me, the most interesting criticism has been from Don Shirley's family, who have said, we were not consulted about this. You know, not only is it really the story of Viggo Mortensen's character, but they got so many facts about Don Shirley wrong. And I think they said that the fact that's most hurtful to them is that Don Shirley wasn't estranged from his family. He's depicted as someone who's estranged from his family, who's estranged from his race in a way.
Yeah.
And I think that was like a great storytelling device. But according to his family, he had, no matter where he was traveling, at least once a month, he would have a phone call with his brother, who he raised because their parents weren't in the picture. And so the family just said to depict this man as someone who is out of touch with his family and estranged is hurtful and untrue. And I think, you know, and then there are other things like kind of like racial things about the movie, like white, like the white character, he's really going to teach the black character how to eat fried chicken. And that's a pivotal point in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I had issues with the film too. I overall enjoyed my theater experience watching this film. I'm not going to, you know, completely, you know, deconstruct this film and say that, you know, it didn't tear it down. It was entertaining for sure. Yeah. It made me laugh. There were, you know, poignant moments. I will give the film a credit for making a very entertaining film, but it's an entertaining film about civil rights, about, you know, racial inequality. Mm-hmm. When you hear it said like that, it's just like that you just made that entertaining. Oh, that's interesting, you know? Yeah. And then you hear about all these controversy and you're just like, so why is this still, you know, on the top of the people's list when there are a little bit more problems under the surface? And then you compare that to a film like Roma, which I have on this pedestal as this wonderful, amazing, beautiful, cinematic genius film, in my opinion. So I think we know what I want to win.
Now, this would be a big deal, Amita, if your dreams and hopes and wishes come true. Roma, I think, we'll fact check this, would be the first foreign language film to ever win the Oscar.
I believe you were right. I think that's also one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's also nominated for Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, foreign language films, the country not decides what film they're going to nominate and send to the Academy to consider. Mm-hmm. So Mexico said, yep, we want you to consider Roma. It's our favorite film of the year from Mexico. And so that's also interesting to me. How many times has a foreign language film, I think like the only thing that's kind of come close was The Artist, which starred French actors, but was, you know, for the most part, a silent film. And I think produced by a lot of U.S. money and that won. But yeah, Roma would be special if it won.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I think, was one of those films that made it into the Best Picture category, but it didn't win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so, it should have. What?
I said it should have. I love that movie.
Yes. So that'll be really, really interesting. And Capernaum is a foreign film that's been nominated that has been getting a lot of buzz. So it would be very interesting to see if maybe the foreign film goes to a film like Capernaum and then Roma wins Best Picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this. Let's play a I won't be mad if.
Ooh, nice.
Making this game up as we go along. Okay, so let's talk about Best Picture. Black Panther. Oh. I won't be mad if Black Panther wins.
I won't be mad if Black Panther wins. I will not.
Honestly, I said that I wasn't feeling emotional about any movies that had a chance. I don't think Black Panther has a chance. Mm. I think 3 months ago, I really thought Black Panther had a chance to win Best Picture, but it just hasn't been receiving the amount of love from other guilds, right? It doesn't, you know, it didn't receive... Did it receive an ensemble acting nomination at SAG?
I don't know if it did.
Like maybe it did or maybe it didn't. I know if Beale, like again, also like if Beale Street, which is maybe my favorite, if not second or third favorite movie of the year, that started to, I mean, it has a couple of major nominations, which is great, but I knew about a month ago that it was not going to win. Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised it didn't get a nomination, but that's not an easy movie, right? Like, I feel like Green Book is a very easy movie to enjoy. I think if Beale Street is very challenging in a couple of different ways.
It is. It is extremely challenging. And I have to say, I was hoping and fingers were crossed when they were running through all of the nominees. And once they said Green Book, I'm like, okay, if Beale Street could talk, could come right after G. Oh, right, my gosh. Right, you know, right. They gave Barry Jenkins an adapted screenplay nomination. So that's exciting. So I thought, okay, well, maybe. Because I do think that was a beautifully crafted film. And so I was a little sad about that too, but you are correct. It isn't as an easy movie to kind of consume. So,
yeah. I won't be mad if Black Klansman wins. True or false, Amita, for you?
I will not be mad. No, I think that was a movie that came out in August and got kind of buried in the fall. And I really enjoyed this film, and I do think it makes an incredible statement, and it's a very interesting true story as well. I think I would be okay if this one won.
I won't be mad if Bohemian Rhapsody wins.
I'm going to be a little mad.
I'll be mad. It's a TV movie. It's like a really well-done VH1 movie. Shade.
But
that was a little bit of shade. Unintentional. It just sprang out of me. But it is. It's like the best movie that rocks VH1 has ever made.
Right.
Shout out to Movies That Rock.
Again, also a very entertaining film. But when it comes to Best Picture, I just don't see it.
I won't be mad if The Favorite wins, Amita.
I won't be mad if The Favorite wins. I adored this film. That was one of my top five films of the year. I love that three strong female leads would win a Best Picture. Sure. Yes.
Do it. We've talked about Roma. I won't be mad if A Star Is Born wins, Amita.
I would not be mad if A Star Is Born wins. I think that was also a really moving, powerful film. And I still give Bradley Cooper so much credit for writing and directing and starring and singing in it. And I think it was really well done.
Yeah, I definitely think I want... It's interesting, A Star Is Born. I want Sam Elliott to win because I love Sam Elliott. No one knows that about me. I'm admitting it now. I'm so brave.
You are.
I am really
this is
brave.
A safe space. Let it out.
And then just like you just listing everything that Bradley Cooper's done, give him one of those awards. So let him win Best Actor. I don't think he's going to win Best Director or Picture, but...
I don't think he's going to win Best Actor either, though.
I know. But good job. Pat on the back, yes. Bradley. Okay. I won't be mad if Vice wins, Amita.
That's jury's out for me. I really enjoyed Vice. I don't know if I would call it a Best Picture. So, but I wouldn't get mad about it, but I'd be like, okay.
Amita and I are not easy to anger. You see what we're talking about, people? We're kind of showing you how the emotional level of our Oscar experience is kind of low. It's on a medium boil.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So, well, let's talk about some things that were... okay. So interesting. It's... all right. So if you were going to make a prediction, I've already said I think Green Book's going to win. What do you think's going to win?
Roma.
Go, girl. All right, let's go. What I think is one of the most interesting categories, best actress can't we call them actors, in a leading role. Such an interesting category. Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, Glenn Close from The Wife, Olivia Colman from The Favorite, Lady Gaga from A Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy from Please Forgive Me, Won't You?
Can you ever forgive me? Can you ever forgive me for not saying the title of that film right?
Melissa McCarthy from Please Won't You Be My Neighbor and Forgive Me.
Oh, too soon, too soon. Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I think it's a really interesting category because you've got four first-time nominees. Yes. Melissa McCarthy's never been nominated.
She
before.
Actually has for Bridesmaids.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Good for her. I love Ms. Melissa McCarthy. You are a font of Oscar knowledge. So we've got three first-time nominees. We've got Glenn Close, who's been nominated so many times and has never won. It's, you know what, in a way, if you wanted to just look at, like, who your heart wanted to win, right? Like, who would be, like, the best story? Who would make the speech that would make you cry the most? All five of these women have the ability.
Yes.
There's Glenn Close, who is just an actor's actor and who's respected across the board. And we love her from like big, giant, iconic hits like Fatal Attraction, but also really amazing performances like Dangerous Liaisons.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on. But all of them have the potential to make me cry when they give their speech.
Yes.
I will say Lady Gaga, you know that. You know, I know exactly what her speech would be like. I might not cry at her speech because I feel like she's still a little bit too practiced in this whole thing.
Mm.
But what do you think? What do you think about this category?
I really enjoy this category. I will say I was surprised that Nicole Kidman wasn't involved in this category. I think Yalitza Aparicio took the spot that Ms. Kidman would have taken for the movie that not a lot of people saw called Destroyer. But I do love the women in this category. I think I agree. I would not be mad if any of them won and gave a very emotional speech because I think they would all make me cry. I love Olivia Colman in The Favorite, and I think the race is between her and Glenn Close at this point. And it's just an honor to be nominated, right, though?
Oh, yeah. You know, Amita, you could be in a room with 99 people. And you just need that one person to see
yes.
your potential.
That's it. Just one.
Just one. I'm rooting for Glenn Close. When I first started really enjoying and appreciating film, she was just like firing on all cylinders. Every year she had some great movie and some great performance. So I've been Team Glenn Close for a while, so I would love for us, me and Glenn, to win the Oscar this year.
That's it. Now it's getting real serious. I can't wait to see what happens with that race, but I also cannot talk about how kind of devastated I was because of one category, documentary feature. I was excited to see these nominations announced and then quickly became confused and frustrated. The nominees for documentary feature were Free Solo, Hale County, Minding the Gap, Of Fathers and Sons, and RBG. Two of these films I have not seen, and two of those films I would have rather seen in this category were Won't You Be My Neighbor, and Three Identical Strangers, which I've mentioned both of these on this podcast a few times. So I need to now find out more about Hale County and Of Fathers and Sons, because I actually have not heard of any of those. And I'm really shocked.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that Won't You Be My Neighbor was a shoo-in because it's a well-made documentary about someone every single one of us has fond memories of, Fred Rogers, right? So it's a great, excuse me, it's a great archival documentary, right? It's mainly archive, but it's a story that's told really well. So that really surprises me. And then Three Identical Strangers had received a lot of attention. I think it's maybe the third or fourth biggest documentary moneymaker of the year. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that somewhere. So it's not like it's been under the radar. People who vote on this category know about it. And it really did what a lot of people want documentaries to do, which is tell a great story, but then also affect change in the real world. Things that, because of this film, there was light shed on this practice of this horrible adoption agency that intentionally and secretly separated twins. And in the case of the main protagonist in the film, triplets. So yeah, I was sad because, you know, we've both loved those films, and they're not being recognized, but hopefully they'll still continue to be seen by people and get attention, because they both should be seen.
I agree. And from the nominees here, I just saw Free Solo a few days ago and truly was wowed by that documentary, which you had mentioned at our Best of Films of 2018 mm-hmm. list. And Minding the Gap was a nice little surprise. I'd seen this film over the summer. I moderated a Q&A with the producers and director of the film and was really taken by the story. I just didn't know it had that legs, I guess is what you call it. I didn't know the film had legs to get it to the Oscar race, but I'm really excited about that. He's a young director and kind of took from his personal life to make this film about skateboarding and, you know, kind of like this friendship and camaraderie with skateboarders that has lasted decades. And I also just recently saw RBG, which you all should just go see RBG. Get your life. Be inspired by this woman, because that documentary is fantastic also.
Yeah, I think I just heard that it's on Hulu. So mm-hmm. if you don't have access to see it in a theater, check Hulu. I believe it might be on there. Don't quote me. If I'm right, please quote me.
Yeah, and I think CNN is also airing it sometimes. So definitely check on CNN to see if it might be airing it in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, documentaries, you know, out of most of the awards that are televised and that we talk about, they make the least amount of money, the least amount of people see them, but they really are so essential, right? These true stories that are told well. And I really want to see Hell County. I wanted to see Hell County ever since it came out. I think it came out this summer, and it just received these glowing reviews. I think it's basically a movie about this African-American community somewhere in the South, I believe. And I think the filmmaker basically spent 5 years or more filming the daily lives of a number of people and edited it down into 78 minutes.
Wow.
And it's just supposed to be very lyrical, right? Like sometimes it's like a mundane thing, like I've got to go to the dentist. But then sometimes there are these little epiphanies that happen. So it's supposed to be beautiful. So I'm definitely going to try to see that. I know in New York City it's still playing in a couple of theaters.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, all yeah. Right. Amit, a little bit of a tangent. I had forgotten that you moderated a Minding the Gap panel.
I did.
That means that both of us have moderated a Cat Oscar nominated film discussions with the creators.
We have. Yes, we have. I actually, I was looking at the list of documentaries and I was like, I've actually met the directors of three of these Oscar nominated films, which is pretty cool to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But yes, you got to moderate the Q&A for the Best Animated Feature nominee, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Which I am rooting for so hard.
Me too.
A, because the three filmmakers whom I interviewed were all just really smart and dedicated and passionate and nice to me. So that's a lot. And but also more importantly, I just feel like Into the Spider-Verse changes the game in a couple of ways. First of all, it's not a Pixar film, so it's like, oh, good, look, you could be Disney. You don't have to be Disney or Pixar to do an amazing, groundbreaking film. And I just think the animation is so different and old school and then beyond new school at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. That was such a pleasant surprise, that film. I didn't know what I was getting into, and then I could not stop talking about it when I left that theater. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and listen, if Black Panther's not going to win an Oscar or any Oscars, maybe we can talk about that. At least another film featuring a black superhero could win.
Let us pray. Yes.
Go Miles Morales. Yeah, so I don't know. I do want to actually, I want to make an effort to see all the documentary feature nominees. So I need to see Minding the Gap, Hell County, and A Father and Sons. Oh, yeah. NRPG. I need to see a lot of films, but I think that's a good goal to have in the next month and a half.
That's a great goal. That's a great goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, obviously, we've talked about it basically since the beginning of this podcast, but, you know, for the past 3 years or so, the hashtag OscarSoWhite campaign did result in some actual legitimate change, mm-hmm. right? I think over the past 3 years, there have been a couple of thousand new members brought into the Academy. And they don't tell you exactly who is who, but word has it that most of these new members are younger, more female, and more diverse.
Yes.
Right? So, like, notoriously, the Academy was, like, 80% male, 90% white, mostly American-born, and there has been a concerted effort to make it more diverse. So I think there are a total of 8,000 members in the Academy.
Wow.
And 2,000 new ones. You know, like, some of them are white males, right? Deserving white males. But there's also more diversity in the new 2,000. So my question to you, Amita, with all that information is, do you think this younger, more racially diverse, more gender parityed membership, do you think they'll have any effect? And if so, what effect do you think they'll have on some of these major races?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it's already starting to have an effect a little bit. I don't think it has a huge effect, but mm-hmm. to see films like Black Panther and Black Klansman really kind of rise to the top films that came out much earlier this year, much earlier in 2018, I think is a small step in indicating a more diverse Academy. But I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how it's a quarter, right? And I don't know how it, you know, falls. Like you said, about 2,000 new members were inducted into the Academy, and that's wonderful, and congratulations to everybody who's become a member of the Academy. But it's a quarter of that 8,000 that's new and more diverse. That 8,000 is still 80%.
Right.
Like maybe it's 75% now white and, you know, or male or whatever. But so I'm not sure how much of a true change it'll be. And also, you can only, I believe, vote for certain categories that you also fall into, is what I believe. But Best Picture, I think everybody votes on, but like only actors can vote for the acting categories.
Right. Yeah. That's something actually really good to point out. Another thing to point out is that it's, you know, look, I'm not saying that, you know, the older white established male who has been a member for the past 50 years, I'm not saying that none of them are capable of looking at a film like Black Klansman or The Favorite and saying, oh, that's my favorite film of the year. But I think it's like, it's more of a case of, it's more likely, for example, that member might look at Green Book and say, oh, what a well-made film. Ooh, tackling a tough topic. I'm not upset by it. I'm giving it my vote, right? And maybe that person like isn't aware of like all the stuff that we talked about Don Shirley's family and mm-hmm. how the fried chicken scene is actually kind of offensive, and mm-hmm. you know, like those voters might also say, "Hey, we haven't seen Roma because I don't have Netflix because I'm 90 years old, but I hear it so great. Oh, and how cool would it be to stick it to Trump?" And have a Mexican director in a Mexican film win Best Picture, you know, like
it's just icing on the cake for this film. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, it'll be interesting to see that effect this year, and then like in years forward, because I think the Academy is going to continue to do that, to just like try to diversify what should have been a more diverse membership anyway. But I think, like, for me also, something that's exciting is the fact that a film like Black Panther deserves to be there. And I think it received 7 nominations. Mm-hmm. Weird things, though, like it didn't receive a visual effects nomination, which seemed strange to me.
It's very strange. I guess they could only give it to one Marvel film. So Infinity War got it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah. But I really hope, because you know that there's those times where someone... where a film gets like 7 award nominations and they go home empty.
I hope not.
Like, I hope that doesn't happen to A Star Is Born. I think Shallow's definitely going to win Best Song. There's no... Fill out your ballots now. Shallow will win Best Song. So it's going to win at least one.
It'll win at least one, yes.
But, you know... And then there are like wonky things we can talk about in our predictions episode. But I think A Star Is Born did not get a Best Editing nomination. And usually... Best Picture also gets like Best Editing love, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I am excited again by the diversity of genre, right? Like, I love seeing a big old well done superhero movie. I love seeing a couple of indies in there. Mm-hmm. I love seeing a black and white film. I love seeing A Star Is Born. I'm calling it a musical. I like seeing a musical nominated.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think I'm happy about the diversity, and I won't be shedding any tears. I'll shed some tears. I always cry at least once during those ceremonies.
Aww. Well, the awards, we have a little bit of time until these awards are actually given out, but we will do a prediction special as well. Leading up to Sunday, February 24th, with no host on ABC.
All right, well, coming up after these two very short messages, Amita will review My Big Sell from last episode.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the host of Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons. Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D-minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point had been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called...
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back to Inside Pop.
It's now time for The Big Sell. It is the segment that appears at the end of every episode in which we take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other. And then we return in the next episode and hear what that person thought of The Big Sell. Last week, we played a game of softball. At least I thought I was playing a game of softball. Let's see. But I did. I was wowed by this great interview with Oscar nominated Mahershala Ali and The Sun Also Rises, John David Washington, star of Black Klansman. And they had a great, interesting conversation. I recommended that to Amita, and I call it a softball because she loves Actors on Actors.
I do. It's a great series.
And I think she likes those two actors. So I was like, let's start the year off strong. But what did you think?
This was a really interesting conversation. I really enjoyed, again, it was a softball. I enjoy the series very much. I enjoy just, it seems very stripped down, and it just seems like a natural kind of getting to know you between these two actors who, you know, are kind of running the circuit right now, promoting two films that they're in for the awards race. And so they probably see each other at events, but to really have an open conversation and to get to know each other is really, really fun to watch. And it seemed like they were very excited about meeting each other. And I loved, you know, how John David Washington kind of asked Mahershala, like, you know, what he was doing before he got Moonlight and before he really had his name kind of take off. And, you know, Mahershala even, geez, like, I've been acting since 1993, you know, and you know, how is it to do the press? And Mahershala Ali was really frank, and he was just like, you know, it's different to do press for a film. Once the film actually starts to get recognition and people actually want to ask you about your work rather than just asking you about what's it like to be a Black actor. And John David Washington was like, well, nobody asked a white actor what's it like to be a white actor, you know? And so they laughed about that. Again, it was just that really open, frank honesty that they had with each other. And there was this one moment about Mahershala talking about, you know, getting his, you know, moving his career forward and getting smaller roles and then growing into larger roles, and how somebody had said, you just need to be guided to excellence. And that's all that we should be doing is finding that guide towards excellence. And I really loved that phrase, and I loved how he described that is what he is trying to do with his career and then help those also who are in this profession. And I thought that was great.
I'm so glad you liked it. Yeah, I think they're both really intelligent, kind of emotionally present actors. I mean, they really seemed – I just love the fact that – and I mentioned this last time – that they really seemed interested in what the other one was going to answer, right?
Like, yeah.
They really were conversing as opposed to let me – sell my film,
right?
Me get to the next time I get to talk. I loved that about them, that John David Washington, I think, had this reverence for Mahershala, who's probably just, you know, 10 years older than him, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mahershala had this respect for John David Washington. So that was great. I thought that was a really good pairing, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed seeing those two men discuss their craft with each other.
I mean, I could see those two men do anything, really. But yes, that's what you were waiting for. Let's be honest. Yes, they're both beautiful and extremely talented. So thank you for this big sell. And I would like to give it 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars. Well done, John David and Mahershala.
Yes.
Great, great, great. Well, what do you have for me this week?
I have a thought piece, opinion article that I'd like to share with you. I have been seeing trailers. I think everybody's been seeing trailers. This film that just recently was released called The Upside, starring Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart and Nicole Kidman. Huge all-star cast. And Kevin Hart is tasked to be kind of an aide to Bryan Cranston, who is a quadriplegic billionaire in this film. And I am grateful to start a new job. I am really, really excited about it. And I can share that I am working for HuffPost, and I'm really, really enjoying being there. And this article, I have to give full disclosure because I am partial. It is on HuffPost, but the woman who wrote it, I actually work with, and the opinion that she put in here was that Bryan Cranston is playing somebody with a disability when there are quite a few actors who have disabilities who could have played that role. And so in this extremely interesting and thought-provoking piece, Wendy Liu wrote, Hollywood's disability problem goes way beyond Bryan Cranston. And Wendy is also somebody who has a disability. And so she comes from a unique perspective. And I would love to share this article with you.
I am really looking forward to reading that, because as you were spinning the tale of what the big sell would be, I thought the opinion piece would be about maybe seeing a movie with Kevin Hart, just, you know, in the midst of the Kevin Hart controversy, or seeing yet another movie where a black person cares for a white person. So the fact that it's about this topic, which definitely needs attention, and I really look forward to reading this. So thank you so much for that big sell. Put it in the show notes, and the listeners and I will read it, and very looking forward to it.
Great. Enjoy.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, I think that is it for us this week. We have a lot to do. We have to get all these Oscar ballots together now. The nominees are announced, so let the betting begin. but until then, because we do have a month until the awards, stay in touch with us, Twitter and Instagram. Find us at Pop Insiders on both of those social media channels. And then also like us on Facebook. Visit our official site at InsidePopPodcast.com and subscribe to this podcast, please.
You can also find us on the MaximumFun.org network. That is a podcast network that is devoted to comedy and culture podcasts. Let's say that we fit right in the middle of comedy and culture. So you can also find us on that site.
And coming up, we have a really exciting interview. I cannot wait to share it. We spoke to a production designer who has a wonderful career in Hollywood, and he worked on the first two seasons of Fargo on FX. So we got to really dive into his process and what it takes to become a production designer in Hollywood.
Best TV show on the air now, Fargo. Can't wait to hear that interview in our next episode. Until then, I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they're watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know, and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Okay, wait, what's that one from?
Do you know that one?
No.
It is from, I chose that one because of our Oscar theme. That was from the last line of dialogue from Psycho. And Alfred Hitchcock has never won an Oscar.
Well, you're really going deep with this. All right.
So everyone can stay calm if Oscar Hitchcock never won an Oscar.
Yes.